Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Cafe Esoterica Radio. This is your hostess, Sean Margaret Cohen, and I'm back with my new podcast all about healing the heart called The Shape of My Heart. I want to explore the subject of unresolved emotions, like fear, heartbreak, abandonment, childhood wounds, grief, and loss, and all issues in between, and share my techniques, which I've used over many decades with my own clients as well as myself, to heal these issues which block healthy relationships and love. So pull up a cozy chair as the autumn leaves fall and the winter winds begin to whistle. Why not pour yourself a nice cup of herbal tea or a cappuccino or a mulled wine and listen to stories which inspire with techniques from my own life experiences as well as your own, because I invite you to call in and share your heartbreak, and let's heal it together. Taking you deep within the heart of the matter every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3 p.m. EST, 11 a.m. to 12 noon PST, and worldwide, you can share your stories of love, heartbreak, and loss too in our chat room. We go live on blogtalkradio.com. And do email the show and tell me your story. If you'd like me to talk about it on air, that would be fine. The Shape of My Heart by Sean M. Cohen at gmail.com. You can also call into the show on the last half hour. I will open the phone line. So let's get you healed. Welcome to my new heartfelt podcast. I am so excited to come back and so pleased to have you come back with me to The Shape of My Heart. How's the shape of your heart? Let's find out together and heal, shall we? Welcome, everyone. It's Sean Cohen here, your host with the mostest. I am trying desperately to get things lined up, but of course, things never happen as they should. So I'm not broadcasting yet on YouTube. I'll get there in a second. I'm trying to get, you wouldn't believe the amount of craziness because we're in lockdown city, you know. Hello, Instagram. I think I'm on there. I'm not sure, but I think I'm live. Welcome to The Shape of My Heart, which is my new podcast. Now, I'm just setting up the Instagram. I didn't want to bang away the keys like I did last week. I hope you can see me. Hold on. There we go. Okay. I think you can see me on Instagram. Hello. So the chat room is open on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone out in listening land. You're going to hear a lot of banging tonight because we in the UK have a Guy Fawkes Day. And so they do, even with lockdown, weirdly enough, right? Even with lockdown. Okay, hold on. Oh, I'm live now on Instagram. Okay, I'm live on Instagram right now. Go to my Instagram and see me. It's at Sean M. Cohen. Go there. Sean is spelled S-H-A-W-N. And let's see if we can get some followers on there to join us. Hold on. I'm trying to get this set up right. Hello, Mary. Hello, Mary. Tonight's subject is going to be The Shape of My Heart. Is going to be on grief. And it's going to be on loss. Now, you may think, oh, God, this is going to be such a
a dark, deep subject, but actually it's a very enlightening and uplifting subject. Okay, so we're not going to be negative about it. We're going to be very positive about it. If you want to call into the show, you can on area code 516-387-1492, and I will take the call, okay? Now, let me just see if I can get us up on YouTube, and then we'll begin the show properly. I'm sorry there's a delay, but what can I do? You know, this is life as we know it. It's so bizarre, life right now. It's so bizarre. Who the hell would have guessed that we would be in another lockdown? Here in London, I don't know where you are, but in London, we're in a lockdown again. So we have loads of people marching against it, of course, but that's another story. Go live. Here we go. And as I said, you might hear banging and that you might hear fireworks going off. The fireworks going off are all about. Let's just get there right now. Okay, the shape of my heart. Sorry about the singing. It will be okay in a minute. Episode 2. Just give me a second, folks. And here we go. Here we go. We're live on YouTube now. Okay. Good. I think so. Let's go live. Here we are. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Going live on YouTube. If you would like to watch me on YouTube, hello, everyone in YouTube land. Welcome to Cat America Radio. Presents The Shape of My Heart, which is by me, Sean Cohen. I'm the creator of this show, my logo in the background. And now you can see, sorry I'm late tonight starting, but everything takes time and this is the way it is these days. So I hope you'll join us and also my friends on Instagram. Let's see Instagram if I can get you a better seat because the picture is just not great here. And I wave at Mary on Instagram. But I wish I had better light somehow here. I don't know how to make this better. I'm terribly sorry. It's just going to have to sit there. Now, you're going to watch me on Instagram looking here because I'm looking at my laptop. Okay? I'm sorry, but I can't look at two places at the same time. And I can't put the phone on the laptop because somehow the lighting doesn't work. Let's see. Okay. That's still too dark, isn't it? Too dark? Maybe. Shine the light a little better. Oh, it's all technical. Right, we have a great show. I spent a lot of time working and preparing the show. So you'll notice I have a new do, right? I got all that hair cut off and I feel a lot better. Sometimes it's great to have long hair when you're older. And sometimes it just isn't. So there you go. It was better to cut it all off. And I feel happy with this. And that's a little I'm going to give to my lovely hairdresser, Susie, who I've known since before my daughter was born. That's well over 24 years. And she always does a great job. That's my Susie. If you want her number, email me. You can email the show, and I would love you to email the show. And let me just put out the email address, which is The Shape of My Heart by Sean M. Cohen at gmail.com. Please do. Okay, let us know your stories. We want them. We'll share them on the air if you want. And I would love to. We also have a chat room up right now. In the there's a live chat in the YouTube, which I would be very happy to talk to people on. And there's also you can write to me on Instagram. So, and also on Blog Talk Radio, which has a chat room. So let's see what's happening over there. No one in the chat room right yet. 49 minutes. Okay, let's get started. So welcome to the show, everyone. This is my little one-hour glimpse into trying to find healing solutions to things that break our hearts or things that are emotionally difficult for us. And one of the things that I, as a psychic medium, know very well about is grief. Grief and loss, some of the main reasons that people do what they do when they're not happy, you know? It's not just about crying and mourning. It's also that grief can lead to anger, it can lead to depression, it can even lead to suicide, you know? So if you're in a very bad space emotionally because you've lost someone, I hope tonight's show will help you. If you're not in a bad space, but you just want to know how to help someone who has lost someone, or you've lost a job, it doesn't have to be the death of someone, it could be a job, it could be losing your looks as you get older, it could be losing the children leave the nest, you're empty nesting, and there is a grief associated with all these things. Tonight's show would be for you. So let's get started, right? Here's all my notes. As you see on YouTube, I write copious notes for the show. I also do things like, this is very interesting because what I do is I look at things like, what are the best things I can advise for people in the shortest time, because we do only have an hour, right? Let's just jump in. What is grief? You know, what is grief really? Grief is every human being, including animals, grieve. They grieve the loss of the people they love, or the you know, their fellow animals, family. Swans are known to choose one swan for a lifetime. And if that swan dies, their partner, they grieve forever. They never find another swan to be with, usually. Right? And I think people can be very similar. We have many soulmates. We might have one twin flame, if you believe in twin flames, right? But I think grief comes in many ways, and it shows up in many ways. So let's talk about grief. First of all, I want to read you something, okay? I hope you don't mind. I think that, let's just talk a little bit first about the inner child, because last week, we talked about childhood wounds. Hi, Gemini Moon. Thank you for coming back. And hello to Rickard, Sandra. Hello. Nice to see you out there on Instagram. Last week, we talked about childhood wounds. And when you're a child and you have trauma, you have... Hi, Neptune girl. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back. Tonight's show is on grief and loss. And if you've lost someone, this is the place to be. If you've lost a job, many in lockdown, excuse me, have lost their job. And they don't know if they're ever going to have a job again, you know. And that there is grief for these things. So grief is a natural emotion when we lose something. And loss is every human being on the planet is going to experience loss. It's part of our soul's journey in learning to be a human being, basically. Now, even though we go through loss and grief, mediums, psychics, metaphysicians know, and mainstream psychologists and psychiatrists are beginning to know, that death is the greatest illusion on the planet. We never die. We only ever evolve. We come into bodies, process whatever it is we need to go through in this time. Hello, somebody, Bowles 56. Welcome. And when we process our story, whatever that story is, for however long that time is, we then move. We move on to the next world. The next world is heaven, is home. We never, ever, ever don't go home. which means that there's no lost souls. There's no such thing as people stuck on the planet. There's no such thing as hell. Hell is made up nonsense. Sometimes the guides will show you this when you die because they want you to get, like, wake up, you know, look at your actions, see what you're doing to other people. But hell is an illusion created by, it's a myth created by the Catholic Church. Okay? There are subconscious demons. There are things that haunt us. There are things that, you know, paranormal investigators would love to, you know, perpetuate with them. And I personally, as a psychic and a medium, tell you that, yes, there are people who come into, they do haunt houses, they do come back to talk to you. But this is a process of trying to understand what their story was when they were alive. And I won't go into that just yet. I think let's go back and then we'll go forward. If we go back and we talk about last week's show, childhood wounds, and how much they affect us as adults, and how bad that is for many people, because if we don't clean up our childhood wounds, we just carry them into every relationship. We carry them into our own children's lives. And our children, this is the worst part, end up living them out. So I'm going to talk a lot tonight about ancestral wounds and how that can even be involved with grief, and how and it's a very interesting sort of point of view to come from. And I hope that you will stay the whole hour and listen. And I'm going to offer you lots of places and phone numbers and websites to get more information, because 1 hour will never cover the subject, right? But it's my point and my hope that by giving you the information, empowering you with the information, you can at least try to get the information you need to heal. And I'm going to give you lots and lots of information. So, you know, between the two of us, you'll certainly find a way. As I said, it's Guy Fawkes night here in London, and they're blasting away with the fireworks. So, you know, up the rebel, fine. But, you know, unfortunately, it's at the time that I'm broadcasting, so I can't help that. We'll just have to grin and bear that. Okay, here we go. So, if you're writing in your notebook, now I asked everyone if you want to join our Facebook group, which is go to Facebook and put in the shape of my heart, and you'll see the Facebook is there. Please join us, as I have loads of information that will be in there as well for all the subjects we'll be covering in the next 12 weeks. So last week was childhood wounds. This week is grief and loss. Next week we're going to have pain and addicted to drama. That should be interesting, right? And there'll be many more. Okay, many more in the same venue, all about heartbreak and emotional healing and what we need to heal, how we should do it, and why we have these experiences. So in your notebook, if you've been keeping up with us, you should have at least 6 to 7 entries of dialoguing with the inner child. And the reason I asked you to dialogue with the inner child is because this is the one you have to heal. This is where the hurt lies. This is the heart and the inner child. The inner child is where we love from. The inner child is where we give from, give our love to, from. You know, our parents are gods to us. They're deities, okay? And anything that they inflict on us, whether consciously or subconsciously, or completely couldn't be helped, was a war on, had nothing to do with the parents. You know, these things stay and they never get healed until we heal them. And that is a sad fact. If we don't heal them, we are walking wounded. We walk into relationships expecting it to be Disneyland. You know, I met my prince, I met my princess, I met whatever. And it's usually like a horror story. And we ask ourselves, how did this happen? How? What happened? Why did this happen? And the reality is the subconscious mind is showing you that you are not a healed person. And if you're not a healed, emotionally healed, emotionally intelligent person inside, you will attract probably the worst nightmare. You will attract everything that isn't love. You will attract narcissists. You will attract psychopaths. You will attract sociopaths. You will attract people who take advantage of you. If you're an empath, you can triple that. So I want to really help you in understanding. It took me a long time, a lot of work, a lot of inner work, a lot of reading. I recommend a lot of books to you. But this is a workshop on healing the heart. And whoever wants it, here it is. And if you're willing to do the work and you're willing to follow up on the links and you're willing to journal in your notebook every week, talking to your inner child, you're going to get your heart healed. And once it's healed, you can attract a healed heart to you. Someone who knows how to treat you. Someone who knows how to respect you. Someone who's willing to take the time to get to know you. And all the wonderful points that love should be. Love is love. It's not abuse. It's not neglect. It's not competition. It's not screwing your neighbor while you're at work. It's none of these things. Okay, that's not love. Love is not that. It never was that. But all these things that are substituting for love, this is where dysfunction lies. And this is why I decided to do this show. We had 3 years on Cafe Esoterica Radio, some best guests you could ever want to meet, most enlightened. Please go back and check the archives under our same heading on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you just go through the archives and listen to some of these fabulous guests, okay? But this, I thought, was a show that we could really take 12 weeks to do and really learn about who we are, why we're here, what's our purpose in life. Our purpose in life is to love and be loved in return. And we absolutely deserve that. We are born to be loved. We are born to give love. We are born, we are love. That's the final bottom line. God is love. If you believe in God, God is love, right? Excuse me. So if all that's true, then why do we have almost, you know, one in every three marriages ends in divorce? Why is that true? Why are so many children abused? You know? Why do we have pedophilia on the rise? Why is it that so many people would rather give a child a phone and leave them to themselves and go off and have a life instead of spending quality time and loving time and one-to-one time with their own child? The answer is only, there's only one answer. All of it is wounded children inside. So if we can begin to heal the wounds within us that make us dysfunctional, that make us hit the right, ignore the red flag, you know, and miss the right relationships, we're not attracting the right relationships because we're not in right relationship to ourselves. So our relationships mirror what's wrong with us, okay? That's hard to believe, I know, but believe me, it's true. Now, this week, we're going into grief and loss. So many people might say, I never had a baby, and they might feel bad about that. Or, I never got married. That's another, these are all, there's many, many ways to grieve and many, many things to feel that we lost out. So I'm going to read you something here, taken from my own life story, okay? Not because I'm blagging or bragging or any reason like that. I am a therapist. This is how I work. I understand myself. I've done the inner work. I've trained in therapy. And I think this will help people. And if it doesn't help you, then ignore it. But if it does help you, well, here we go. So I want to talk about, first of all, generational loss, and that we live out these traumas not just in our own lives. Oh no, we live them out from decades and centuries ago. And what's really sad, if you don't do the work, don't look back, you don't do the inner work to see how is this like my grandmother or my great grandfather, how are their lives like mine. Right? We froze on Instagram. I don't know why. Instagram. Here we go. I'm frozen on there. Okay, that I don't know why that is, but there you go. Anyway, so I don't know, I'll have to leave that now. Okay, so what's happened is, let me go back, sorry. So generational traumas and generational loss. So here's how it goes. My grandmother was 11 years old. This is my own story. I'm going to describe three generations. My grandmother was 11 years old when she was sent away from her home and family in Kilkenny, Ireland. Her mother died, we think, in childbirth, but we're not sure. She was one of 12 children, and there was little money, as my great-grandfather sold used clothes to survive. Once her mother died, her father could not cope and sent the children out to live with other families who could feed them, take care of them. This, by the way, was not unusual in Ireland. I'm sorry to say, you know, this was not unusual. It sounds horrible, but it really wasn't, you know, unusual. Anyway, my grandmother, Margaret, who I'm named after, was sent to Canada with an English family, and at 11 years old, she would be a nanny to this family's children. Now, here she is, uneducated, with the enemy, the English at the time were definitely the enemy of the Irish, you must understand that, and only a child herself taking care of children. Now that's pretty rough, isn't it? How could she do it? How did she know what to do? You know, how did she survive this leaving behind her family, the death of her mother, the father who basically just gave them all away, and siblings she would never see again? It never ceases to amaze me what she went through. I only know that at some point she met my Scottish grandfather, who also immigrated to Canada after the Boer War, and they met, fell in love, and moved to New York, immigrating forever to America. Neither of them would ever see their homelands again. Now, I'm named after my grandmother, my middle name is Margaret. I'm psychic like her too. Right. She loved to heal the local communities in Brooklyn, where no one could afford a doctor back then. All poor immigrants with herbal remedies and folk medicine she picked up in Ireland, which I suspect her own mother used on her and her siblings. I personally loved natural medicine and wanted to and was accepted in a school of naturopathic medicine in Oregon. At the time in 1984, there were no grants or even loans. And it was way too expensive, with $20,000 a year, with 7 years of that ahead of me, and I already had a long 10-year battle to get education while I was waiting and bartending for 10 years. My degrees in metaphysics and psychology and in nursing. I did nursing as well. My mother, going back to her, was born in 1920. To this couple, my grandmother and my grandpa. Her upbringing was dire. Soon the Great Depression in America would hit. In 1929, with the stock market crash, and people literally begging on the streets for food, no jobs available. But my mother was pretty and talented. She ran away at 18 and joined the circus, where she felt like someone, where she could be a star. Eventually, she left to join a dance troupe out of New York, and she was dancing her way through World War II and into the 1950s. She was invited to go to Hollywood, become a film actress, and at the same time, she met my father, who was already married, had a child, but he never told her that. She chose him at age 28. She was afraid she would never get married. In those days, a woman without a husband was unheard of. So in 1952, after my father's divorce from his shotgun wedding, he married my mother. I suspect it was all going badly from the beginning. After my older brother was born, there it was. was The Truth for My Mother. I just chose the film career. Yes. And she went on to have me and my sister, my younger brother, each one of us a block in her Hollywood career in her mind. You know? It was difficult to grow up with a mother who was so unsatisfied with being a mother and a wife. It was for my father, who hated her running off to the local playhouse or theater and rehearsing all the time, so no dinner on the table at 6 p.m. or any p.m. unless me and my sister were forced to make it. And we were every night for months at a time, only children ourselves. I learned in this time what it meant to be a wife and a mother. This was a horrible experience, and you should avoid it like the plague. And it's true. That's what I learned watching my parents. My parents argued all the time about this experience. About giving up all their dreams to be with each other. And my mother particularly really just wanted to be a rock star, a movie star. You know, that was her thing. Sorry, I'm having a problem with Instagram. You're just going to have to bear with me for 1 second while I get this organized. The point is, in my story, that there is generational pain here. And this generational pain here, we're back live on Instagram, I hope. All right. So I'll just carry on. Now live. Okay. Back live. Here we are. So this is about generational pain. So my mother was very upset that she never got to live out her dream. She wasn't very happy. She became a person who avoided responsibility. She became a person who was drinking and, you know, not taking care of her children. And that meant me, as the eldest daughter, got to be the mother at 6 years old. And I was taking care of my siblings. I was making sure they got dressed. I was taking them to school, right? I was picking them up from school after I finished school. And it was really a very difficult time for what I would say any child. When you grow up in a house with dysfunctional people, everybody's dysfunctional. Everybody becomes dysfunctional. Their needs aren't met. They're not loved. They're not cared for. They don't learn how to take care of themselves. They don't learn how to love. And so what happened was, eventually, I grew up. Although I was very lucky that I met my girlfriend's parents. My girlfriends had great, some of them had great mothers. And those mothers really took a shine to me and probably could see that I was in need of a mother. And I'm different than all my siblings, not just because of my gifts, but because I was mothered by girlfriend's mother, if that makes sense. And that made the biggest difference in my family, and that made the biggest difference for me, right? That gave me worth when I didn't have any. And that gave me an idea that I could be cared for, loved. I met my boyfriend, my first boyfriend, when I was 14. And he was 16. He and I became very, like two peas in a pod. And people who know me know my story about him. His name is Glenn. And he and I, you know, spent 4 years in high school together, 2 years older than me, graduated after me. Before me, and then he wanted me to come to Florida to live with him. I didn't want to go to Florida. I wanted to go to LA. That's what was happening. So he said, well, where should I go? I said, go to LA. I'll meet you out there when I graduate. The day after high school, I went out to be with him, and I was going to go to college in LA, which I did. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we spent summer together, we had some difficulties, and we broke up. And that was the loss of another dream for me. But not long after that, although I was spending another year in LA, my mother and father broke up, finally. And my father left, took all the money, and he ran off with his secretary, classic. My mother was gutted. guy's heartbroken, although why, I don't know, because they never got along. And she asked me to come back and go stay with her. I was in school. I was at Santa Monica City College, and I had an apartment with my dear best friend who lived out there. And I did see Glenn once in a while, and, you know, I was happy maybe with things about and be together, because we really belong together, I think. And my mother forced me to come to Pittsburgh, forced me, you know, like, you have to, you can't stay there, you know, you won't. So in the end, I cried the whole way home, and I went back to Pittsburgh. And what happened for me was that I ended up being forced to work in a place called the Encore, which was a jazz nightclub in downtown Pittsburgh. I wasn't even of legal age. My aunt forced me to do it. She came in from New York and said, you have to do it. Your mother can't work. She's a nervous wreck. Just turned 20. And legal age for selling alcohol was 21. So this story set me up to meet my second love affair, which was with an older man named Art. Glenn died 2 years later. And when he died, I didn't know he died. And I was in Copenhagen at the time, and I saw his spirit on the bus. I don't know how it happened, but his spirit came to me. And in the end, I found out he died. I saw the spirit. I'd never seen a spirit before. In the middle of a bus, never. So this was the beginning. I'm just hurrying up the story because we're going to run out of time. This was the beginning of my recognizing and knowing that I am a psychic. I know I'm a psychic. I've had many, many psychic experiences, but this was the top one. When Glenn died, that was it for me. I didn't want to live anymore. And he came to me and he kept saying to me over and over again, you know, I'm not really dead. I'm still here. You know, and telling me many, many things, how much he loved me and all these things. And there was nothing in that time, nothing. I thought either I've lost my mind, which was possible, or there was something to what he was saying. So I thought, okay, I'm going to investigate. And luckily, at the time, I found a book called Life After Life by Dr. Raymond Moody. And Dr. Moody is still going strong, and I urge anyone who's needing support in anything to do with after, you know, people who've died, lost grief, and also what happens in the afterlife. He's got an amazing book called Life After Life by Dr. Raymond Moody. And his organization is www.lifeafterlife.com. And he's still going strong, God bless him. And because of that book in 1979, the entire afterlife community was born. So many, many people like me beginning to ask these questions. And he was a doctor who was interested in why people who died on the operating table came back and told their story about what they experienced. So now there were more things coming out. The International Association for Afterlife Studies, Dr. Terry Daniels, who was a previous guest on my show, Cafe Esoterica Radio, she lost her son. And she had many, many, many experiences of communication after life communication. We also have, and her website is spiritualityandgrief.com. There are many afterlife conferences, and you could go to the afterlifeconference.com, and you can also listen to many, many stories on wedontdie.com. On that website, there's a radio show called We Don't Die Radio, and that's a weekly show. Like, you can hear it. It's fabulous. It's all about mediums come on and do mediumistic work. Now, when my second boyfriend died, Art, my daughter was 10 years old, and, you know, I had a dream about him. And that dream was very, very clear that something happened to him. And luckily, he was famous in his day. He was a heavy boxer in his day. And I was able to go back and look up on Google, the internet. I didn't have any of that when I died. So then I saw that he had died. I couldn't believe it. The dream had told me, and there it was. And then I had, because I'd been psychic, I'd been doing the work for a good 10 years at least. The 85, I came to London. So 83 to 93, it was 2005 when I found out about him. So it was a good 20 years of work. And then he appeared to me off my back. And if you could see my flat, there's a patio out the back door here, and broad daylight, 11:30 in the morning, he appeared. That time it was so crystal clear, the light, it came in, all these bits of white light just formed him. And he leaned over the balcony and looked straight in at me. My mouth was on the floor in shock because, you know, I hadn't seen him in 10 years, and 14 years before that, last time we spoke, it wasn't good. He didn't like that I was a psychic, and he had become a born-again Christian. And he thought that I was doing the devil's work, which, if you can believe that, you know. So I, of course, fought back and said, look, it's ridiculous. You know, I'd never do such things. And it just goes to show you that in heaven there are no such norm. And he looked in, and he looked through the window at me, and I could see him leaning on the balcony. There's a rail there, and he was leaning in. He looked gorgeous, he looked young, and he said, and fit and healthy, and he said to me, Sean, love never dies. He didn't say it with his mouth, he said it with his mind. He sent it to me. I heard it just as I'm speaking right now. It was the most, one of probably the most beautiful moment in my life. And so, for generational pain, my daughter being 10 years old, right, didn't understand what this was about. And of course, I was involved with this story with art for many, many years after his death. And a lot of people who know me from that time know that, you know, this was a very powerful but difficult time in my life. And but art was teaching me. Art was teaching me like Glenn had taught me. You know, I was learning. I was learning a lot, actually. And I was hearing art, seeing art, and he was showing me different things, something that I really would never have thought he would have done. But this is what love does. Love is eternal. You cannot ever lose the person who loves you or you have loved. Even pets last for eternity. We are souls, we are energy, we can never die, and we never lose that connection with the people we love. So if there's someone in heaven that you love right now, send them a loving thought, because I can promise you they hear you. I can promise you, if you write a letter to them, they are hearing you as you write, and they will respond in some way. Whatever way they can do, they will respond. There is through feathers you find on the floor, whether it's through pennies. My daughter and I used to, when art would leave us all these pennies, you know, there'd be pennies. And we'd pick up the pennies. I was walking her to school, we'd see these pennies and pick them up. And there would be like 1976 on the back, which is amazing considering that's the year I met art, you know. Or it would be my daughter's birth year, or it'd be my birth year, or something like this. So, you know, these are ways that spirits show up. Also, you might hear a song on the radio. Since I worked in a jazz nightclub with art, everything was jazz. But there was also Frank Sinatra, Matt Monroe. He loved them. And he used to, when I would turn on the radio, the rock station, and I'd hear Frank Sinatra, you know. And so I would know that that was him. That was him communicating to me. He definitely wanted me to know that he was with me, he was around me. And I got confirmation from not only his daughter, but I got confirmation also from Glenn's sister about some of the things that went on. I was told by two different individuals at different times that they had some of that go on with them too. So it's an amazing world, the spirit world. It's filled with love. It's filled with white light. It's filled with harmony and joy. But there's also negativity, the negativity of not living a life that you're proud of, or not, or being very selfish or doing things perhaps that maybe you wished you hadn't done. So of course, I would say to anyone, if you're not happy with the life you're leading right now, change it. Make it something to be proud of. So that when you look back in your day, in your time, when you have your life with you after you die, and everybody does, you can say, I'm proud of that. Yeah, I did that. Or I helped that person. Or I adopted that pet. This is another thing. Our pets meet us at the gate of heaven. And if you have lost a pet, many, many, many of my clients come to me for mediumship with loss, grief. Sometimes it's terrible grief. Terrible. People who died so young or shouldn't have died. Everything is a lesson. Everything. What we go through in our lives is a lesson. How we deal with that lesson is up to us. If we can but come to the point of understanding why we experienced it. If Glenn had not died, and believe you me, he was only 25, I wish he never did, I would not be doing this work. And I have been doing this work for nearly 40 years. If Art hadn't died and come back, people die every day, but if he was 76, he had a full life. I don't think I would have gone into mediumship as deeply as I did then. Because at the time that I was training my school of metaphysics, the teachers at my school were not interested in mediumship. So when I was teaching metaphysics to my students, I was saying, like they were telling me, leave the dead alone. Leave the dead alone. But that's not quite right. The dead really want to speak to you. They really want to hear from you. They really want you to know how they are. And they miss you as much as you miss them. So when we go back to grief and loss, some of the things that really helped me in my journey were to get information. And the books that I mentioned, I'm going to mention quite a few more here because as time moves on, we're going to run out of time. So the books that really helped me, as I said, Life After Life, Dr. Raymond Moody, was because a lot of them were saying things that Glenn had said. And I thought, wow, so this is true. We don't die after. The word reincarnation never crossed my lips when I was 23 years old. And that's how old I was. Who died. The fact that you can have fights and arguments with someone in life, that they can come back and say, I love you, I did love you. It's all part of the process. It's all part of the process of growing up, waking up, learning, learning what not to do sometimes. My mother was not a good mother because she had a mother who also had a very difficult time after her mother died. But I vowed if I ever was going to have a daughter or a child that I would be a good mother, that the buck stopped. And this is where I'm going to go now. So when Art died and she was 10 and I was having all these mystical, profound experiences with Art, and I mean, Art was a showman. He really brought him on thick and fast. Even Autumn saw my daughter, whose name is Autumn. If you don't know, she saw him too. She saw his spirit. She was psychic. She was very psychic, just like me. She has the same gifts as me, right? And what happened, I think, is that a couple things happened. Number one, I didn't know that Art was left in an unmarked grave and unpaved grave. And that's something that came out when I went home to see his grave 2 years after he died. And then I realized, not that he had come to me of all the people he knew, but he knew I could see spirit. The last time I spoke to him was in Florida in 1994, and we had met up. And I told him that I had a boyfriend who died, and after he and I broke up, and he had wanted to get back together with that person, and I couldn't because I was going through all this process. So it was a very interesting dynamic, but that freaked him out and he just couldn't handle it, and that was the end of that. So, was really his invitation to come back and talk to Dr. Hinton. And he did many, many times. Through him talking to me, through him teaching me, just by being here, just by showing himself, just by, you know, I would feel him touch my hair. I have a thing on my hand because I have something going on there. But anyway, the bottom line is, he would touch my hair. I could feel this on my cheek. You know, this is how spirits speak. They want to be known. They want you to know they're there. They want you to think about them and send them love. They're not dead. Their spirit, their body is dead, but not their soul. Souls never die. So, anyway, my gorgeous daughter, she grew up. I moved on eventually, even though I would say that Art and Glenn are both around me a lot. I get messages from them a lot. I just lost another boyfriend of mine from when I was 22, and he was my Italian boyfriend who I lived with in Italy for a while, and that was a really interesting dynamic in those years. But and he's now gone, you know, God bless him. So I've heard much from him, nothing. Sometimes when the soul is resolved, when things are resolved, you don't have to hear from them. It's also nice to hear from them. So let me talk about a couple things and then we'll wrap up. I'm going to tell you about, so anyway, so what happened in this time is that I learned, A, there's life after death. B, I can help people because of my experiences. C, I'm a psychic. And I'm a medium. So deal with it and do something about it. Make it count. Do something to help the human race. You know, some people find my work, I've been accused of by my very own family of being crazy, or people who've known me all my life who decided that, oh, the afterlife is bullshit and so are you. Well, shall we? Will you die and I die? We'll all meet in heaven, and you can tell me if I was right or not. How about that? I put that out to my naysayers. But I know for a fact I've channeled many people through, and I really believe that we all have the ability to be psychic and mediumistic. So I'm going to just name a couple things here. There's a couple authors I want you to know about. Michael Newton, who wrote books on the afterlife, Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls. His books are amazing. What happens in between lives when we die? And then we create a new life for the future. And NewtonInstitute.org, www.thenewtoninstitute.org. And also the wonderful interview with Dr. Newton by Richard Martini, who himself wrote It's a Wonderful Afterlife, and another book, Hacking the Afterlife, on www.media.com. And how we pick our next life is a great subject. This is now afterlife is moving to how we come into reincarnation, why we reincarnate. And this is through Robert Schwartz's books. I love them. I always recommend them to my clients. Soul's Plan, and you can find, that's his book, and Your Soul's Gifts, another book of his. And you can find him on yoursoulsplan.com. In the UK, we have dyingmatters.org, which is great. You can follow them. And it's all about afterlife conferences here. There's some Bath, actually, where my daughter is. Okay. And Cruise Bereavement, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday in the UK. You can call them on 0800-808-1677. If you're lonely and your spouse has died or a partner and you feel you're on your own, a wonderful organization here in the UK and many chapters all over the UK called www.oddfellows.co.uk, and they meet up and they have, you know, just get-togethers, because people die of loneliness. They die of grief and loneliness. If you can meet up with people and create another sort of chapter in your life, you'll see your loved one again when you pass. You will. I can promise you that. So why not fulfill your things and people? And, you know, I say to people, the best way to not be lonely is to adopt a pet. desperately need someone to love and take care of them. And there's a free helpline also on www.myrtwellbeing.org.uk. So my right wellbeing. Let me spell it. myrtwellbeing.org.uk. That's in the UK. You can call them on 0808-801-0808. Now, the USA is going to have loads of organizations. I mentioned Terry Daniels. Just Google her, Dr. Terry Daniels, and she's got loads of information about the afterlife. And you can also do counseling with many of these people. Finally, as we come up to the last 10 minutes, I want to tell you about, I'm just going to have a look, and we have no callers in the blog radio. Okay, that's right. That's fine. Not possible. Oh my God, I'm out of time. Okay, my folks, I think we're out of time. I can't believe it. It went so quickly. So these are all the organizations that will help you. Read the myth of Demeter and Persephone. And this is a beautiful Greek or Roman myth about what happens to a mother who loses a child and gains her every spring and summer. And you'll see in the Greek myth about, you know, what happens and how to heal. And I will leave you. I know it's been a bit crazy today. I promise it'll get more, you know, coherent in the future, but just trying to get everything organized. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope it's helped. You can always contact me for a psychic medium tarot reading, of which I do, and I do very well. And I'm available worldwide on Zoom and pay-to-pay. So it's pretty easy. I find all over the world. If you need help, grief, I'm here for you. And with that, I'm going to love you and leave you and play us out. It was old and wise, but we've lost that. So I'm going to go out with Reflection by Purple Planet. God bless you. See you next week for The Shape of My Heart.